I find these ministry really interesting because, you know, in all walks of life, there, God calls people to do kind of the ministry that no one else wants to do, right? He sent Nahum to Nineveh and Jonah to Nineveh. So we see this throughout the history, but that doesn't mean that they should go without love and without blessings and without encouragement. So I'm just going to forego some of the personal prayers today. I'll make myself available afterwards for more of the personal prayer needs and stuff like that of our own congregation. But I'd just like to join corporately and pray for these two ministries and all the things that will be happening. This is a really challenging time. Just open up MSN and you'll see how important this issue is, how important these issues are. So would you just join me in praying for them and praying for our rest of our service today? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've delivered men and women into these ministries to go stand out on the front lines, to develop and train up new soldiers. And I just pray that you will just allow them to have fruit for their ministry as they abide. Lord God, I'm just reminded of that vine right now that it's really that you do the work, that what you're asking us is to stay fully entrenched and fully connected with you while in the ministry. So I do just pray that the armor will be on them, that you will direct their steps, and that all along the way that there will be multiple and many Aarons and Hurs to hold their arm up in this battle. Lord, we know that victory is promised when our arms are held up high. So we pray this over them. We just pray that they will have the people that they need, that they will have the finances that they'll need, that they'll have the hearts and the generosity and the direction that they'll need. Lord, bless these ministries. Continue to bless Northbrook. Allow us to grow and thrive and build our own extending ministry for you, Lord God. So Heavenly Father, we just claim all your power, your strength right now. And in the midst of doing this, we also just come to you as we move forward with the service today. Lord, we offer you our hearts. May it be void of distractions. May it be emptied. And Lord, we invite you to fill it. We invite you to come in whatever areas that we have right now where we maybe have blocked you out of that section of our hearts. Lord, we invite you to come in. And we bless you. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I see a lot of faces that I don't know. It's always challenging when you're preaching a series. You might feel left out a little bit, but basically, over the last 6 weeks and today's week seven, I've just been laying down some kind of fundamental Christian core values. These are things that we should all embrace as Christians. Every kind of denomination, one way, shape, or other, kind of put these core values into words or phrases that are easy to carry. I shared ones that are from the CMA, but even if it wasn't from the CMA, these are the seven core values I would carry in my heart, irregardless. The problem, or the challenge sometimes, is when you're talking about values, when you're talking about these are the things that we want to do, or these are the things that we want to accomplish, or these are how we want to exist and dwell in Christ as Christians, sometimes we try to force them in, and that's not what we need to do. Because when we're trying to force in values, when we're trying to force in principles, when we're trying to force in groundedness, we're doing exactly what that phrase says. We're forcing it. Maybe I'm the only rebellious person in the room, but I have never grown up liking things shoved down my throat. So it has been my hope, it has been my prayer over the last 6 weeks that no matter how big this body, how big this organization, no matter how small it is, that we would begin to embrace that values are not something that we randomly inherit. We don't randomly inherit values. We don't randomly inherit principles to abide by and to live in. We have to open ourselves up and allow God to plant those seeds. to allow people to come into our lives and disciple us, to mature us, to lead us, to hold our hands. So again, values are not something we randomly inherit. Rather, values, specifically Christian values, are things that are born and bred, and the Holy Spirit lays in there. And then our actions, what we do, is not dubbed as values. It is merely an extension of giving away freely the gift that we have already received. It is an extension and a reflection of who we are and who we are becoming in Christ Jesus. Stating it the simplest way that I know how, core values are how we express and share Christ's love and all of His great gifts. In other words, and as I clarified last week, applying our values is not a to-do list. If we relish or relegate Christianity to a to-do list, we will always lose. We will always be climbing uphill. It is not a to-do list. It is embracing and sharing. And it's understanding that what we might deem as a core value is in actuality a gift. Going through our core, a paraphrase of our core value list, lost people matter to God. He wants them found. That's a core value. Lost people are gifts from God. That's a paradigm shift. I know that. But we don't know when the next lost person is going to be the next great evangelist or the next great pastor. But if we walk by that person, we will never know. And God will not have been used in that instance. Prayer is a gift. Righteous, selfless. Don't rush into God's temple. Keep your vows made to God. Ecclesiastes 5. Money, doesn't matter how much, how little. Those are gifts from God. We are stewards. His Holy Bible. One of the greatest gifts of all. Use it. Being called a disciple by God, and that sense of belonging that comes from being called, you're part of my team, that is a gift from God. Having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, living, breathing, thriving in our hearts, that is a gift. Having a purpose because God has given us purpose, that is a gift. I'm so sad in these days with so many people feeling like they don't have purpose. So again, purpose, mission, vision, and values, these are not a to-do list. What it is a list of things that we already live by, we already believe it, we already embrace ourselves to it and hold it dear, and we just want to give it away. So it'll become a gift for someone else. So as I conclude this series today, I'm going to bring us to two simple Bible verses to try to put an exclamation mark on this. And I'm praying that as you see these two verses, very simple verses, unfold, that you will see a deeper level of what God is calling us when it comes to mission and purpose. But I want to just pray over these words. Heavenly Father, I ask you each and every week, and I mean it each and every week, please make me invisible. Allow yourself to be seen and heard this morning, Lord God. Help us to be still. Put away whatever else we might be thinking of. Help us to put down whatever baggage or luggage that we carried in here today, whatever responsibility or the next event. Jesus, take control. Jesus, have control. Amen. The famous Mississippi born and bred author William Faulkner once penned this awesome statement that I really love. He once said, you cannot swim to new horizons until you have enough courageousness to not have your eyes on the shores. I'm going to read that again. You cannot swim for new horizons until you have courage to lose sight of the shore. The reality of this quote is that too often, and I even find myself doing this from time to time, is too often we desire change, we desire growth, we desire momentum, we desire, but within these desires, we take one step forward and then we withdraw, or things get a little bit hairy, so we look backwards and maybe say, but this is how we used to do it. Or we get scared of how the world is becoming so horrific, so we turn inward and cover up ourselves into this safe, cocoon-like environment. Now, as strong as I made that statement sound, please know that this is not an indictment. It is not an indictment. It is, however, a challenge. A challenge to ask each and every person to self-reflect. Do my actions or the implication of my Christian values compelling me to move forward? Let me ask that again. Do my actions or the implementation of the things I know about Jesus Christ in my heart, are they compelling me forward? So let me clarify what I mean by this question, this challenge, by bringing us to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. These are the words of Jesus himself. And it comes after a long teaching to a multitude of people, and Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let me read it one more time. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, this statement, this directive, comes directly from Jesus, and we now call it part or dub it part of this salt and light teaching, right? Anyone hear that term? You know, Christians, we've got to be salt and light. It comes from that. It's been coined or washed down to two easy words to understand, salt and light. But I want to challenge that, whether we really understand it or not. I'm not judging intelligence. I just want to challenge, are we thinking about this critically? So this teaching also follows a very famous teaching that we also call the Beatitudes. Or as growing up in parochial school, don't have a bad attitude teaching. But at the heart of this teaching, Jesus is directing, right? Like a choir director. He is directing, he's encouraging, and he is even imploring to the people of the time and to us, in certain extent, to look forward but not backwards. Let me say this again. Jesus is imploring the people that he was teaching to stop looking backwards. Don't look inward, look forward. This is how he does it. He said, salt, right? At the beginning of this discourse, he said, salt is worthless if it loses its property. I'm paraphrasing. Salt is worthless if it loses its property for enhancing and preserving for the future. Now, one of the things I really love about the Bible is that I can actually sit there and go, I wish I could write sermons like Jesus wrote sermons, right? Because this is what pastors would call real, relevant, transformative teaching, right? Jesus takes something as mundane as salt, and he wraps this beautiful teaching around it. Well, it's mundane to us, maybe, and it's perhaps a little mundane to them, but salt had greater values back then, right? Any one of us can roll the clock back to our grandparents or anyone that has family members living in a developing country knows the value of salt and, sorry to say, MSG. But Jesus was really just like, the people had to been going, who is this guy? He's going to teach on salt? But it wasn't like that. Because when Jesus says, if salt has lost the power, if salt has lost its ability to enhance, and has lost its ability to preserve, he says it is worthless. Throw in the ground, walk over it. That's the best use that it would have. Is to be something underneath our feet rather than what it's supposed to be. Now, I want to remind us that in times or in areas of no refrigeration, salt not only adds flavor to what we're eating, right? It enhances it. But salt was also a way of preserving the meal for 3 months from now. Salt is a way to put something so that we can have it come winter time. That is not backwards looking. That is not inward looking. When we're saying we need to enhance the situation now, and we need to build upon that so it'll be there tomorrow, and the day after that, and 10 years from now, that is not looking backwards. That is not looking inward. So in the same way our values are supposed to enhance the lives around us, the people we live next to, the cubicle that we sit next to, because we're the salt. It's supposed to enhance those around us. It's supposed to preserve, our actions are supposed to preserve this for generations and generations and generations until he comes. In other words, salt addresses the present, the future, and that's it. So the challenge Jesus raises is this, are you salt? He is saying, following the Beatitudes, are you salt? Are you enhancing your surroundings? And are godly core values being used to preserve the future? So, from this, Jesus then keeps the same form of teaching, this real relevant transformational teaching going, and he turns it from salt and he changes it to light. And he says, I want to bring this to a deeper level with you guys. I think you're getting it. I really want to just hit a nerve here. Right? And Jesus, he did that a lot. I mean, I think that's why so many Pharisees and Jewish believers were so angry and all the time, because he kept hitting all these nerves. So I'm not going to do that, but I want to hit a little bit of a nerve, because some of this, it needs to be kind of a wake-up call. But Jesus says this, essentially. He says, okay, would you go out to the market, buy oil, fill your lamp, light your lamp, and then conceal that lamp? He asks that question, not in so many words, but he says, would you go to the market, buy oil, fill your lamp, light the lamp, and then conceal that lamp once it was lit? Why would you ever go through the trouble of doing all that and then to hide it? In other words, and this is not a leap, by the way, it's like all of us going through all this trouble to become Christians and trying to live a certain way, but then when we move to another surrounding, we just turn that all off. We try to conceal it. You know, so like it's easy to be this way in this Bible study or this group and talk this certain way, but then we go to this other surrounding and then we kind of take that bowl and cover up the lamp. That's inward looking. That's what Jesus is saying here. So the first he's talking about looking to the future. Here he's saying avoid that inward looking. Now, I think modern-day Christians, and I'm not indicting anyone here, but I want to challenge our thinking a little bit. See, in modern-day time, we just walk into the room and we hit that little plastic switch. When we want the light on, we turn it on. When we want it off, we turn it off. If you're my children, they turn it on, and most of them I have to go turn it off. Right? But I think sometimes, if we're not careful, our faith, our values, our belief, our centricity has become a little bit like a light switch. On, off, on, off, on, off, on, off, on, off. And what that does is that it turns everything inward, and sometimes turning it inward even to make it about me. And Jesus brings this out. And Jesus then goes on and says, you know, we got to stop living that way. This is not something we pick up and put down. This is not something we hide. You either are or you're not. Right? And that's the message he's trying to convey. When you put these together with the Beatitudes and the other teaching, that's the message you're trying to say. Salt keeps us looking forward. Knowing the value of the light keeps us from looking inward and holds us accountable to looking outward. And how do I know this? How can you be sure of everything that I just said about the lamp? Well, where does Jesus say the lamp should be? Up high on a rod or on top of a hill. Why do we hang lights from ceilings? Because light is most effective when it is held up high. Jesus will be most effective in our lives and in our community and in our churches when he is held up high. Here's the bad news. And I'm sorry, there is some bad news here. You know what happens when you light an oil lamp and then stick it underneath the bowl, as the passage directs? You don't have to answer it. I know you know. You're going to starve that lamp of the oxygen that it needs, and it's going to snuff out. It's going to burn out, and it's going to be worthless. And that's what that bowl represents, is that when we become so inward that we start depriving ourselves of spiritual oxygen, the result is being snuffed out. And that brings us to verse 16. I am calling you to be and to bring salt and to light and light to those around you. I am calling you to bring salt and to give light to those who are not yet here. I'm calling you to bring salt and light to those that only want to be here 2 or 3 times a year. But I'm calling you to look towards the horizon and not back towards the shore. Which brings us back to my closing point from last week and my intro at the beginning of today's message. Values, mission, vision is less about what we do and more about how will we respond to Jesus and what he's done for us and what he continues to teach and to share with us and in us and through us. So this brings me to that second short verse. This one comes from Romans, and it's Romans 15, verse 7. You might already even know it, and it says this: accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. So how does this tie into Matthew 5:16, and how does it tie into being salt and light? There's one simple fact about both of these verses and hundreds upon hundreds of other verses like it. note carefully from those two verses what the end game is. The end game is to point people to God so that they will praise and celebrate God. That's the end game. Yeah, we want our churches to grow. Yeah, we want to have more prosperity. Yeah, we want all these things. But the end game is that accepting God, accepting others, accepting the place God has put it in, and reaching out to those so that they will know God, so that they will praise God, that they will celebrate God, and they will join in with the preserving of future generation and the message of God. Living by godly values requires us. I hope that's not coming in on top of my head. I don't know if you guys can hear that or not. But the other side of this verse that ties to the first one is that how accepting have we become? I mean, it's really easy to criticize nowadays. It's really easy to go, I don't like that person. I don't want to be with that person. It's so easy nowadays to go, I'm just going to confine myself into this safe zone. So the directive is bringing and pointing people to God, but in order to do that, we need to be accepting of people right where they are. We can't change people without being with people right where they're at. Let me say that again. That might sound ridiculous, but it's really important. We can't have an influence or an impact on people if we're not with people. And we're not going to have the chance to be with people if we're unaccepting of people. And if we go back to our core value, lost people matter to God, He wants them found, we have to be accepting of that person right where they're at. We can't live by the expectation is you need to change before you come see me or be with me or hang out with me. I'm not talking about sin issues. There's sin issues we need to avoid. But Jesus met people right where they were at. In the same way, living by our true vision and mission requires to meet people on their turf. And just like Matthew 5:16, the primary objective here is to bring praise and glory to God by being with people, enhancing and preserving, and by being people who lovingly bring light into dark places. In other words, and paraphrasing Jesus and restating myself, putting a lit lamp under a bowl will only snuff out the light. And salt that's not being used has no value. Salt is only salt when it's being used. It's just white flakes of sand otherwise. Hence, serving inward or looking backward is like hiding the salt and placing the lamp in a place starved of spiritual oxygen, which leads to just one conclusion. So what can we do? I believe a great place to start is asking ourselves, are we truly serving our neighbors with Christ's love? And why would I choose to ask that question? Because that is the first thing that's written on our website. Before I ever set foot here, that's the first thing that you will see. So I'm challenged by this because I actually believe in that. I believe it is a great mission focus sentence, is a great mission moment because it's ambiguous. But it's compelling. It's a little subtle, but it also feels like a kick in the pants to get out the door. It's a little statement that says, maybe I can help my neighbors rake leaves today. Or help that poor little old lady weed her garden. There's no boundaries on it. That's why it's so great. That's why it's so purposeful. And I love this statement because it reflects all the things that are compiled in our core values and our verses that I shared with you today. And I can really wrap my brain around this and make this more tangible, because I believe when we're willing to reach out to our neighbor, it talks about acceptance, meeting and reaching people as they are. It's transformative. Transform lives, pursuing other transformed lives. Where'd that model come from? Let's do that again. I like that. Jesus transforming lives, so they go transform lives, and so on and so on. It's like that old shampoo commercial. We just got to tell two friends. Relevance. We already see, I already demonstrated that how Jesus teaches relevantly. And he's sitting with the people. He's not on some high platform. He's eating with the people. He's real and he's relational. He's multicultural. We are blessed with so many cultures here. And I have stories to tell you about my own upbringing, about being from Vietnam and so on and so forth. But to me, it is a blessing. You know the old song goes? I'm not going to sing it because that would probably chase people out of here with me singing. But we need to embrace that churches are meant to be all people, not segregated people. All cultures, not segregated cultures. For God so loved the world. Let's just end there. I don't think anyone's left out. So don't be Christians that leave people out. Along with this, I love this mission statement. I love our mission statement because it challenges people to live by their own words. Right? Ecclesiastes 5, don't make a vow to God and not honor that vow. And that's what a mission statement is. We're making a vow. So it challenges us to be authentic, because in keeping our words, we become authentic. Being real, being transparent. You know what? I'm the pastor. There are days my faith walk sucks. I'm sorry. And I just use words like sucks. So that's bad too, I'm sure. But it's the journey. And here's a word that Christians don't like to use very much. God calls us to be impactful. And it fits in with that mission statement. Because when you go help somebody, you are making an impact. It may not impact today, it may not impact tomorrow, but we're looking towards the horizon. And God calls us to be impactful in people's lives. Be meaningful, sincere. That's sharing God's core values. It's the heart to say, Lord, I want to make a difference in someone's life today. Show me that horizon that you want me to see. Show me if I'm looking inwards or backwards. Here's my point. Hang in there, or home stretch here. Words are important. That's what I do for a living. Values are important. Vision, mission, all that stuff's important. But at the end of the day, know that none of those things will ever have or make a difference if we are unwilling to apply it. And essentially, that's what Jesus is saying in Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine so that they will see your good deeds and that they will praise my Father in heaven. You don't have to be ashamed to be a Christian. You don't have to hide that you believe. Let them see it through your kindness, your generosity, your love, your willingness to get your hands and feet dirty. So again, it has been my hope and my prayer that as we as a body, no matter the size, would begin embracing that values are not something that we randomly inherit. Values, specifically Christian values, should just be birthed out of our love of Jesus Christ and just become an extension of who we are. It is how we express and share Christ's love. Don't ever minimize that. Don't ever forget it. It is how we serve our neighbors. It's how we're going to turn Northbrook into a place of salt and light for generations to come. It is how we're going to make Brooklyn Center, Brooklyn Park, a place of salt and light for generations to come. So may you know and believe that God loves you. He does, friends. May you know and believe that He gave you His Son, Jesus, to walk with you, to give His life for you, to have a place set aside for you. And may you know and believe that we have purpose, you have purpose. And we can always start by serving our neighbors. We can do our part so that they will come to know and to celebrate and praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. I don't grow weary of this, Lord God. I just thank you so much for it. But Lord, I stand with these people wherever they're at. I just pray that you will use that to unify and direct and continue to compel us to be your hands and feet where you need us to be. Lord, help us to see that we often can start right in our own backyard. Help us to embrace you more and more, Lord, so that you can live inside our hearts more and more, Lord. So we give this day to you and we bless you in your Son, Jesus, in his holy, mighty, powerful name. Amen.